From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. After a phone call between the two leaders, U.S. President Donald Trump thanked Russian President Vladimir Putin for remarks he made Thursday acknowledging America's strong economic performance. According to the White House, the two spoke following Putin's annual press conference in Moscow. They discussed how to work together to address North Korea's nuclear and ballistic weapons program. The Kremlin also acknowledged that the two discussed relations between their two countries and agreed to stay in contact. The Kremlin emphasized that Mr. Trump initiated the call. Putin also warned the U.S. against using force against North Korea. Mr. Trump has repeatedly said that all options remain on the table. U.S. President Trump's envoy to the United Nations says undeniable evidence proves Iran is violating international law by funneling missiles to Houthi rebels in Yemen. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley stood in front of missile debris on display in a hangar at a military base in Washington, D.C.
This evidence is part of what has led the U.S. intelligence community to conclude unequivocally that these weapons were supplied by the Iranian regime. The evidence is undeniable. The weapons might as well have had Made in Iran stickers all over it.
Haley says the missile parts bear markings showing they originate in Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is joining members of the United Nations Security Council Friday to discuss putting maximum pressure on North Korea to abandon its nuclear program just days after he appeared to extend an olive branch to Pyongyang. The State Department said Tillerson would call on all UNSC members to work together to continue the economic and diplomatic pressure against North Korea. This is VOA News. For his part, U.N. Secretary General weighed in on the North Korea issue from Japan, where he was meeting with the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Gutierrez spoke to reporters in Tokyo.
I think it is important for all parties to understand the urgency of finding a solution, avoiding the kind of confrontation that could have tragic consequences for everybody.
Two Reuters news agency journalists have been arrested in Myanmar, and Reuters has called for their immediate release. While Lone and Kayo Saoo were arrested for possessing important secret papers obtained from two policemen who had worked in Rakhine State, where violence blamed on security forces has forced more than 630,000 minority Rohingya Muslims to flee into neighboring Bangladesh. Reuters Southeast Asia Bureau Chief John Chalmers says the journalist faced the possibility of years in prison.
So Reuters President and Editor-in-Chief Steve Adler has called the detention of Wallon and KCO a blatant attack on press freedom, and he has called for their immediate release. Unfortunately, we haven't had any response yet from the Myanmar authorities, and we're still waiting to hear how things are going to unfold from here.
Human Rights Watch has condemned the arrest and echoed calls for their release. U.S. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said that Washington is watching the situation closely. The White House said on Thursday that it supports the Federal Communications Commission's vote to repeal 2015 rules governing the Internet. The FCC voted 3-2 Thursday to implement a new policy, Light Touch Plan, on regulating the Internet. FCC chairman, appointed by President Trump, said the new plan ends what he says is the U.S. government's micromanaging of the Internet. At least 17 people are dead, another 15 wounded, after a suicide bomber attacked the main police training facility in Mogadishu, Somalia. Police were rehearsing for an upcoming parade commemorating the 74th anniversary of the creation of Somalia's police force when the bomber entered the police academy early Thursday disguised as a policeman. The state-run Somali National News Agency says the man was wearing a tracksuit and emerged from residential areas near the academy before detonating his explosive vest. The militant Islamic group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the attack, claiming 27 police officers were killed. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Liu Kang said China submitted an official protest with the United States Thursday after President Trump signed into law a measure that could result in U.S. naval warships visiting Taiwan. Mr. Trump signed the defense budget legislation and authorized the possible mutual visits in Taiwan. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.